3CR's Turn 40, and from Monday 10th of October right through to Saturday 19th of November, we're celebrating. Join us on 3CR Breakfast from 8 until 8:30 a.m. Monday to Saturday as we delve into our rich 3CR archive and bring you half an hour of historic gems. So start your day with the sounds that built a station. 40 days of groundbreaking audio celebrating 3CR's 40 years of radical radio.
Hello and welcome to the Spring Has Sprung edition of the Boldness. My name is Phineas Meir. Joining me in the studio is Daniel Kirby and Tully Zigger. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Finn. How are you doing? Hi, Tully.
Hey, Daniel. Hey, Finn.
Hello. Now, the Boldness is about not just getting your human rights, but demanding them. So, be bold. Go out there and demand, not just wait for some well-meaning person to say you deserve this, but actually getting your human rights and demanding them. Anyway, we now have our first guest, Josie. I think it's Paletti. Is that right? Hopefully. And she's from the Field Education Unit, and she should be joining us on the line.
Hello, yeah. Josie.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. So, you obviously run a forum to do with disability and sexuality. Tell us about that.
Yes, we run a forum. This is on behalf of Field every year in March, and it's an opportunity for people with disabilities and people working in the disability services sector to look at exploring the sex industry as an option for people with disabilities.
Do you think the sex industry is accessible to people with disabilities?
Well, that's what we explain at the forum. Sometimes people think that, you know, if a brothel has a ramp, it's accessible, but it's not that straightforward. Mm. There are some brothels that don't service people with disabilities. So one of the things we do at the forum is explain to participants what the sex industry can offer and what it doesn't offer, because often there's misconceptions about people with disabilities and what's included in the price if they pay for sex within a legal brothel.
What sort of things do they need to keep in mind?
Well, the thing they need to keep in mind is time. So, for example, when you go into a brothel, often you may need to go upstairs. There might be a ramp at the entrance, but you might need to go up some stairs. So the sex worker won't lift or carry or do anything like that, so you'll need to have somebody with you. When you actually enter the room, you need to be showered. So unless you can shower yourself, you'll need to have a support worker with you, so you need to include that in the cost.
You're listening to 3CR's 40 Days of Radical Radio Special, celebrating 3CR's 40 fabulous years of community radio.
Yeah, kiddo, everyone, welcome back to 3CR. You're now with Raising Your Voice, and I'm Pete Water. With me in the studio tonight, I've got Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hi. How are you, Gummy?
I'm bad. Today we're having a chat to James O'Brien. James is a member of a group called All Australian Count. How are you, James?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Fantastic. Tell us a bit about this national insurance scheme and why do we need it?
Sure. So the proposed National Disability Insurance Scheme will provide a safety net for people with disabilities, their families and carers, to ensure that their day-to-day support needs are taken care of. The Productivity Commission has been undertaking an investigation into the proposal over the last year or so, and they're about to provide a report to the federal government in the next month or so, which will recommend the creation of a national disability insurance scheme. And it's really to address some of the systemic failures that the Productivity Commission have identified in the way that the current disability service system has operated. So it's a significant report, and we're really hoping that the federal government acts properly and responds to it in a satisfactory way once they receive it.
Yes, you're on 3CR, your community radio, listening to 25 years of Raising Our Voices on 3CR, and we'd like to bring you a few highlights from the last 25 years Raising Our Voices on 3CR.
Today we'll talk about Jamfield Resource Jamfield Short Nest Mind Civitive of February 1907.
My name is Des McIntosh. I am President of Rainforest, and our policy towards institutions are that they should be closed and people with a disability living in the community in supported houses with the addition of house staff. And we are having a rally to show the government that people with a disability can make it a positive go of it in the community rather than living in institutions. By having this, we hope that the people realise their abilities and not their disabilities. People with a disability have been on a shelf with fences around them for too long. If it is time they are given a big chance to prove they can do it in the community. Thank you. And the other speaker was Doug. Doug?
My name is Doug Panlon. I'm the treasurer of Rainforest. I attended the rally at Jamfield on the 17th. There are better options, and I think institutions are not the place as far as I'm concerned. I spent the first 20 years of my life in institutions, and I've done my time there. I've been there and done that. I know what it's all about. Now I think it's time that we started thinking about other people, and I think the money is a complete waste, and there is time out there and places out there in the community for people. So move them out and let them enjoy their lives the same as everyone else.
Hi there, listeners, and I think you're going to get more snippet from Norrie. Take it away. You've got the station floor, Norrie. Go for
it. Here we go, to 1999 and Katie Ball.
And she made you laugh, and she was a very strong self-advocate. She could almost paint the town with her stories that she could tell, and she's no longer with us, rats.
Good evening, Katie.
Yeah, g'day, Peter.
For a start, let's talk about disability activism. What makes you do the things you do, such as going up in the street, Peter, and staying up there for a day or two? Why do you fight on issues so hard?
Well, I've got to be an activist because people with disabilities are my people. I see it as a cultural issue as well. And in some ways I was actually forced to be an activist because I've been institutionalised and I've had some really bad experiences, and I just know that those experiences are wrong, and I made a vow to myself when I was 15 that I would never let this happen to any other person with a disability if I could help it. So I became active at the age of about 16 on disability rights issues, and I'm fighting not only for myself, and a lot of it comes onto my own home territory, but I'm also fighting for my people, and my people are people with disabilities.
Okay, what is the inclusion that we talk about, such as landfills, such as school closures, such as Kalula, do you think they play a role in our society, or do you think they should be shut down in time? What's your opinion?
Well, I'd like to see them burnt to the ground and have some trees planted in memory of the people who've suffered in those places. I really would. I'd like to see them burnt to the ground right now, and people with disabilities moved into the community, into real houses, not community residential units, but real houses, and allowed to live in freedom and with the dignity that they deserve.
You're listening to 3CR's 40 Days of Radical Radio Special.
Disabled people don't score votes for the government to get in, you see. And let me say this, that in 1981 was a disabled year, you may know of it.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, they were going to do a lot of things, but they never did what they said they would do, and it fell right through. Went down the sewer, as far as I'm concerned, and a lot of other people said the same.
People with intellectual disabilities need their rights met, and their own lives their own, and that we're not as stupid, we're just as smart as everybody else and equal as everybody else, and we deserve to have respect and equal rights given, and our decision-making our own, and not be put in institutions and locked away just because the community don't like us being seen in a community or have our own house or our own lives our own, which sucked.
Women with disabilities are, from the government record, one of the most marginalised and disadvantaged groups in Australia. Analysis of data available from a variety of sources gives us the following information about women with disabilities in Australia. There are 3.6 million people in Australia with a disability, making up 19% of the total population, so almost one in five of us. There are 1.8 million women with disabilities in Australia. Women with disabilities are less likely to be in paid work than other women, men with disabilities, or the population as a whole. Men with disabilities are almost twice as likely to have jobs than women with disabilities. Women with disabilities earn less than their male counterparts. Women with disabilities are less likely than their male counterparts to receive a senior secondary or tertiary education. Only 16% of all women with disabilities are likely to have any secondary education, compared to 28% of men with disabilities. Women with disabilities pay the highest level of their gross income on housing, yet are in the lowest income earning bracket. Women with disabilities have a consistently higher level of unmet need than their male counterparts. Women with disabilities are less likely to receive appropriate services than men with equivalent needs or other women. women with disabilities are less likely than women without disabilities to receive appropriate health services, particularly breast and cervical screening programs, bone density testing, menopause and incontinence management. Girls and women with disabilities are more likely to be unlawfully sterilised than their male counterparts. Between 1992 and 1997, at least 1,045 girls with disabilities in Australia have been unlawfully sterilised. The true number is probably much greater. Regardless of age, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation or class, women with disabilities are assaulted, raped and abused at a rate of at least two times greater than non-disabled women. Women with disabilities are more likely to be institutionalised than their male counterparts. Women with disabilities are often forced to live in situations in which they are vulnerable to violence. They are more likely to experience violence at work than other women, men with disabilities, or the population as a whole.
You're listening to 3CR's 40 Days of Radical Radio special, celebrating 3CR's 40 fabulous years of community radio.
Hello, my name is James, and I am interviewing Brenda all about Ross House. Hello, Brenda.
Hi, James. I've been at Ross House for about 8 years. I'm employed by the Australian Federation of Disability Organisations. They're a peak umbrella organisation that is managed by people with disabilities. And most of their work is around advocating to governments about what people with disabilities want. My role there is administration officer.
What disability groups are there at Ross House?
When I knew that this was going to be a question, I actually went through and listed them all. I was really surprised at how many there are. There's a MIDA, there's the Australian Federation of Disability Organisations, there's another group of people with intellectual disability or self-advocates called Reinforce, there's STAR, the Disability Discrimination Legal Centre, Retina Australia, Brain Injury Matters, the Self-Advocacy Resource Unit, Blind Citizens Australia, Able Link, the Spina Bifida Association, and the Disabled Winter Sport Association. So there's quite a range of disability groups who all have different roles.
Are there many people with a disability working at Ross House?
They sure are. Most of the organisations that I mentioned just before employ people with disabilities. They've got people with disabilities on their management committees. They have visitors coming through with disabilities. But not only those disability groups, there's lots of other community organisations that involve with people with disabilities as well. Ross House is quite an accessible building, which makes it particularly convenient for people to come in and enjoy the space.
Where is Ross House?
Ross House is at 247 Flinders Lane in Melbourne. It's between Swanson and Elizabeth Street.
Thank you, Brenda, for talking with us about Ross House and what interesting things about Ross House have you done lately?
James, Australian Federation of Disability Organisations, while its main role is around disability advocacy in Australia, one of the things that we feel is important is about supporting people with disabilities internationally. Australian Federation of Disability Organisations is a member of Disabled Persons International, and we get involved with supporting groups in developing countries. One of the things that we did recently was applied to AusAid to bring a group of people from Kiribati to Australia. Kiribati is just a small coral atoll in the South Pacific, and their main way of communicating their message in their country is via music and drama. Mm-hmm. And we put together a four-week program for them to learn extra skills in Australia. They actually came here to 3CR and learnt about radio production, which they're very excited about, and have gone home, I've heard, and have been editing bits of audio and visual recordings that they've made. It was a really exciting time for everybody. All the groups that were involved got a lot out of it, and I'm sure they did too.
I heard that they gave a wonderful performance at Ross House.
They sure did. It was really exciting. The acoustics in Ross House lends itself for the music to travel up through the stairwell in the building, and the beautiful harmony that they have. It's all without instruments, and it just sounded spectacular. There were probably about 30 people in the foyer listening to it, not to mention all the other people who got to share it because of the way the noise travels in the building. It was just lovely. I'm just arriving at Ross House. We're at reception now, where the wonderful Nikki is here smiling at me. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Brenda.
So a typical day behind the Ross House reception desk.
Nothing is that typical, I guess, and that's what is really lovely about being here. And I feel really kind of honoured to work for everyone in the building because everyone's got a really good cause, and I can help them out with just really kind of basic things or whatever they need. But I know they're working for something really amazing, and that makes me feel good. And yeah, that's kind of what I like about it.
And sitting next to the cassette player is a very familiar face of Ross House. It's Andrew. Hi, Andrew. Would you like to say hello?
Yeah. Hi. My name's Andrew Daly from Ross House. I come here and do the DJ and all that. And I put the music on for everyone.
And how long have you been coming to Ross House?
Since 1990.
Gee, that's a long time. I think you must have been here one of the very first people here.
Yeah, yep, that's right.
I'm with Sarah Day, who's the general manager of the Ross House Association. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Tell us a little bit about Ross House and its value to Melbourne.
Ross House is a very unique building. We think it's the only one of its kind in Australia and maybe the world. The thing that makes it so unique is that Ross House is Australia's only self-managed, not-for-profit building that is owned by the community and managed by the community. So Ross House is home to 50 not-for-profit groups, all working for environmental sustainability or social justice.
So, Sarah, can you summarise for me how Ross House came to be?
So back in the 1980s, a lot of self-help groups got together and had a conference because they were finding it difficult to run their groups, and their biggest need was having space that they could afford and in a place that was really accessible so anyone could get to them. So they said, yes, what we really, really need is a building. And they were very lucky at the same time that the Ari Ross Trust approached VCOS, the Victorian Council of Social Service, and they said they wanted to make a large donation to the community. So these two interests met together and they decided the best thing to do would be to buy a building for the community, and that's what the Ari Ross Trust did. The building was opened in 1987, and that's how we became Ross House today, still going strong 25 years later. So there's so many diverse passions in this building. There's always debate going on, but it's a real testament to community management that through all of these turbulent times, we've managed to pull through and figure out a plan together and keep going.
It's really important that we had a meeting space and an office space that was accessible for a lot of people with disabilities, not just about physical access, but also things like being close to public transport and other services that are important and make it easy for people to be able to engage with our organisation. In Ross House, there's a number of other disability groups, as well as many other kinds of groups, that we share our knowledge, our resources, our ideas, and that's really important to help us to get things done, because everybody in this building is on a very tight budget, and the more clever ways that you could do things and that you can work together with one another, just every bit helps. So that's it for our visit to Ross House today. Ross House is at 247 Flinders Lane in the heart of Melbourne CBD.
I think 3CR is the voice of the people, speaking back to the establishment and telling them what they think, and sometimes it's something they don't want to hear.
And we go to the year 2000 and Rhea Strong.
Welcome to Raise Our Voices. It's Saturday, April the 1st, and we're down at a rally. Young people in nursing homes, you've got to be joking.
We're my friend the Chocolate Cake, and we're very glad to be here today. This rally to highlight the issue of to try to gain some momentum to get young people out of old age homes.
We're here at the Young People You've Got to Be Joking rally. And I've just met Kerry Stringer from Melbourne City Mission, who did the report that started the day of action in the first place. Hi, Kerry.
Hi.
Could you tell me something about your report?
I guess one of the most critical things that the report highlighted was the need for young people to be in facilities that were designed to meet their own needs, particularly social needs. Young people, not unlike a whole lot of other people, need to have strong networks with friends and families and places where families feel comfortable visiting. I guess the most poignant moment for me was meeting a young woman who had a son the same age as my own son, and her little boy didn't feel comfortable coming to visit her in the nursing home because of the fact that there were a lot of older people there and he was unable to relate to her. So as a parent, it seemed particularly poignant for me that this was a need that should be able to be met, a basic human need and a right of people with disabilities.
I just thought I'd read out some of the placards here today. I want to choose where I live. Let me decide where I live, thanks. I want to live where I choose, and it's not in a nursing home. Politicians have care and compassion. You've got to be joking.
My name is Bill Lawler. I'm from the Gippsland Disability Resource Council in Moree, and we've come down to join the demonstrations.
So what do you think about young people being forced to live in nursing homes?
Well, it's just one other symptom of the massive underfunding in the disability sector. It's just unacceptable, totally unacceptable that young people have to live in nursing homes. We need to get a massive cash injection of funds into the disability field to eradicate this problem and many others as well. See to believe,
live for life. 3CR's turn 40, and from Monday 10th of October right through to Saturday 19th of November, we're celebrating. Join us on 3CR Breakfast from 8 until 8:30 a.m. Monday to Saturday as we delve into our rich 3CR archive and bring you half an hour of historic gems. So start your day with the sounds that built a station. 40 days of groundbreaking audio celebrating 3CR's 40 years of radical radio.